Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Karen Brown. Thanks for checking out the Mississippi Edition podcast. If you like what you hear, click subscribe, hit like, or leave us a comment if your app has that feature. Then find other MPB podcasts by searching MPB Think Radio on your favorite podcasting platform. Thanks. Good morning. It's 8:30 on Wednesday, September 29th. I'm Karen Brown. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, questions linger as legislators push forward with a plan to legalize medical marijuana. Then, conversations on voting at colleges in the state. And after a Southern Remedy Health Minute, advocacy groups push for an equal pay law in Mississippi. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. State legislators have reached an agreement of medical marijuana, but uncertainty remains. Yesterday, we heard Agriculture Commissioner Andy Gibson express frustration with various aspects of the proposed bill. Now, Dr. Thomas Dobbs, the state health officer, says he's uneasy about the plan as currently constituted. Dobbs lacks Gibson's bombast, but he laid out his reservations, frankly, at a meeting with the Legislative Black Caucus.
There's no mechanism for funding in this bill. We have some grave concerns about it, although, we think that you and your colleagues will make sure it's done appropriately. Normally, in this sort of licensure scheme, we fund the programs off of fees, like we do for like restaurant inspections and stuff like that, so that it allows the agency to grow and contract with the demand. You know, I think there's, if it either goes through fees or through state general fund appropriation. We have grave concerns about state general fund appropriation because whenever these big pots of money get into our state general fund and there's a cut, it ends up cutting care for pregnant women and babies, and these other things get fully funded. So I just want to make sure that we're very cautious about how we budget this money so that it doesn't harm the public health mission taking on this new marijuana role that, you know, is not really a public health role normally.
The current plan for medicinal pot wouldn't allow cultivators to grow cannabis outdoors. That could make life difficult for farmers. It's a snag that seems to be a top-of-mind concern for members of the Black Caucus. Still, Dobbs says restrictions on growing are broadly backed by evidence.
It was recommended to us by pretty much every single state that we talked to not do outdoor grows, at least not to begin with, for several reasons. First was span of control. Second is that really anybody who's seriously in the business is going to grow it indoor. But the main reason is states that had started with outdoor growing, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to monitor the product weight. And it was a source of considerable criminal activity, diversion, and even an introduction of drug cartels in a massive way into the states. So, but that's the opinion we got from law enforcement. And I think that's something that y'all might want to elicit yourselves to have a better insight.
Dr. Larry Walker of the School of Pharmacy at the University of Mississippi addressed the caucus alongside Dobbs. He says he, too, has concerns about the new plan for medical marijuana, but he assured legislators he's willing to work with them to move the process forward.
It's quite clear that THC and CBD and perhaps other cannabinoids do have legitimate medical uses. There's no doubt about it. The question is, how do we do it? Let me just give you an example. Opium has legitimate medical use, but it can also be abused. And smoking opium is not a great medical delivery system. I feel the same way about medical marijuana. I really was not supportive originally because the many states, it's just a track to recreational. It's not really medical at all. But I had emphasize, if we're going to do it, let's do it. Let's do it medical. Let's control doses. Let's have good dosage forms. Let's think about having physicians, pharmacists, nurses, whoever, medical practitioners involved in the program. And I think that's what we should do if that's what we're going to go for. Whatever the state decides on, I'm going to be supportive of us doing it in the best way that we can. But often this is sold as, well, my grandmother's dying of cancer and why can't she smoke marijuana to relieve her pain? I'm fully supportive of that. But your grandmother doesn't need 30% THC joint to relieve her pain. Nobody does. So we can approach this in a medical way, and we can do it in a way that's compassionate and professional and ethical and responsible toward patients.
The state legislature is scheduled to meet next in early 2022. At this point, that's the earliest any medical marijuana bill could become law. Coming up, a conversation or conversations on voting at colleges in the state. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
A contractor ever tell you the price of something and it sounds so high you think, maybe I'll try it myself. Some jobs just aren't that difficult, and yes, you can do it. If you want to find out how to do those things, listen to Fix It 101, podcast everywhere.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Karen Brown. September is Voter Registration Month in the United States. Yesterday, Michael Watson, who's Secretary of State in Mississippi, spent the day visiting colleges in the Jackson area to get students registered. Watson started off at Millsaps College, then attended an event at Belhaven University organized by Shelley Smith. Smith is the Vice President of Student Development at the university, and she spoke with Kobe Vance.
So trying to get students to register to vote so that they can be good, productive members of society, but also want to make them knowledgeable about get to know your candidates. Know who, don't just blindly go in and vote. Know your candidates, know what they stand for, know their past voting records, know what they've voted against, and be a good, knowledgeable voter in the community.
So what services y'all are providing here today when it comes to for students to get registered to vote?
So we have pamphlets for them about voting, and then we have the actual voter registration applications that they can fill out, and we've already gotten over 100 so far today.
What are y'all telling students about the importance of voter registration? Because I know this year is not necessarily a presidential election year.
Right. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Small town elections are just as important as large elections because all of it makes a difference in our communities, in our region, our state. So just telling them that it's really important to get out there and have their voice heard.
How important is it to get those students engaged, especially the ones that come that might live in other parts of the state or maybe in other states?
It's very important to get them engaged where they are right here. It's very important that they know what's going on back home in their communities, but also that's going on because a lot of the decisions that are made, like for instance in Jackson, affects Belhaven and affects where they're going to be for the next 4 to 5 years. So it's very important they get involved where they are.
Is there anything else we might not have hit on that you'd like to share with Mississippians?
It's just research, do your research on the candidates. Don't blindly vote. Don't just take somebody's word for it on Facebook. Get into it. Read, research, know your candidates, know who you're voting for. Be knowledgeable.
Next up for the Secretary of State were stops at Tougaloo College, Mississippi College, and finally Jackson State University, where members of the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity organized a voter registration event. Jairus Killingsworth is president of JSU's Alpha Phi Alpha chapter.
We have a national program called A Voteless People is a Hopeless People, which started somewhere in the 1930s when people gained the right to vote. So we just want to bring and we want to just give students information on the importance of voting. And the big problem is most students are registered to vote, but they're not registered in the state of Mississippi. So we're trying to get them registered here as well.
And what about the students? Are y'all also reaching out to students that might live in other parts of the state but want to vote here in the Jackson area?
At the moment, we're just focused on the Jackson area. Later, we are thinking about branching out and helping other students as well.
And so, you know, when it comes to those trying to get people from out of state involved, what does that look like? What conversations are y'all having?
The first question is, are you registered to vote? And most people say no. Well, most people say, yes, I'm registered at home. And we're like, do you want to get registered here in the state of Mississippi? Then we tell them the importance of being registered to vote here. And it's just simple. Just fill out a form, and they're registered to vote here, and we'll get that form submitted to the state.
Why do you think it's important for students to be able to vote in the state that they're studying in?
It's very important. If you want to have a voice, you want to be able to vote here, especially here in the state of Mississippi, all the things going on here. If you want to have that voice, you have to have the right to vote here in the state of Mississippi.
Are you registered to vote?
Yes, sir, I am.
And, you know, for you personally, what does voting mean to you?
Voting means a lot. When I look back at voting and the people that came before me, those people had to crawl so we could walk, and now we can run. So if I want to have a say-so in the upcoming elections, then I want to have the opportunity to vote, and my opinion does matter.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with maybe Mississippians outside of the Jackson area, or, you know, other students here, other students across the state, that something that stands out to you about the importance of registering to vote this month?
I think all schools, not just Jackson State, should take this as a national program or local program and just make sure all students are registered to vote here in the state of Mississippi. Today we had a great turnout. About 20 to 30 students came and changed from where they stayed initially and registered here to vote in Mississippi. So it's a great turnout all around.
And are y'all going to be able to help students that weren't able to turn out today but might just have some questions?
Yes, sir, most definitely. Okay. We have forms that we were handing out as well to give students more education on being registered to vote as well.
Secretary Watson says he's made voter registration efforts a point of emphasis throughout the month.
We started a few months ago actually going to junior colleges on Thursday nights for football games, setting up tables there. We transitioned from that to going to Friday nights at high school football games. So today is about college campuses, but it's not just our focus. We've been going across the state into high school football games, junior college games, and then today, university campuses.
How's reception been? I know it's not an election year. Are people still receptive to signing up to vote?
They are. Mississippi in general, about 87% of those that are able to register to vote are registered. So it's a great number to talk around about Mississippi and about how engaged our voters are as far as the registration process. Then it's incumbent upon us to really educate people, why should you be voting? You know, why should you be engaged? But across the college campuses today, we've had a lot of energy, a lot of good reception. So it's been a good, and again, you know, to focus on the idea of making sure they know that we care is important to us.
I was curious, have you been able to talk with other lawmakers in the legislature about possibly updating the ballot initiative process in the upcoming session?
So we've had a couple of conversations, very general, nothing specific, but our policy team, myself and several others in our office, have really been doing the homework, digging in and getting to the point where we make a recommendation of what we think it should look like. And you know, obviously being a former legislator, understanding that process, knowing that let's do our homework. Let's see what other states have done, what has been successful in those states, and what should we steer away from as opposed to, you know, what's good. What is something that we want to bring to Mississippi? So we're looking at the entire process from when you come and, you know, file on the front end to when it goes on the ballot on the back end.
So are you considering asking lawmakers to do a full overhaul of the ballot initiative process, or just fixing the part that was disputed in the court case this summer?
So originally what we talked about kind of right after that and really later towards the past few months, past 6 months, has been kind of the idea of let's fix what's broken right now and then give us some time to overview the entire process. Now, that said, the legislature didn't come in for a special session, so we've had a little more time to do some homework. Depending on how quickly they move and the session coming up starting in January, perhaps we could overhaul the entire system between now and then, or at least give some recommendations. So, again, it depends on the timing of it and how receptive they are to the research that we do and then present to them.
Secretary of State Watson, thank you for talking with us today.
You got it. Have a good day.
Coming up after a Southern Remedy Health Minute, advocates push for an equal pay law in Mississippi. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Karen Brown. Mississippi's Senate Labor Committee is set to hold a hearing on pay equity today. At this point, Mississippi is the only state in the country without an equal pay law on the books. That's something that activists like Lilly Ledbetter, who will be speaking at the Senate hearing, want to change. You heard our conversation with Ledbetter on yesterday's show. Local advocacy groups like the Mississippi Black Women's Roundtable have long urged lawmakers to take action on pay equity. Cassandra Welchlin is the state leader of that organization. She speaks with Desiree Frazier.
We know that labor and women's wages definitely has been front and center during this pandemic. And we, you know, have resurfaced the issue about how do we make sure that women get what they need in order to take care of their families and earned. I mean, they have earned this. And so we're bringing back up the issue of equal pay for equal work in the state of Mississippi. And so we want to be able to make sure that women get what they need.
What would be a good equal pay law to you?
A good equal pay law would do a couple of things. I know in the past we've had several pieces of legislation, good and some that are very weak, and one that it would do more harm. And a good equal pay law would do a couple of things. It would end the reliance on applicants' salary history to set pay. This is proven and proactive measure to prevent gender and racial gaps, you know, from arising within the workplace. We already know that when a woman gets a job, usually her salary is based on her previous job and jobs before then. There's a wage gap that already exists. And so we cannot rely on salary history because she's already behind. And the other thing that would make a strong equal pay law is to protect employees who discuss their pay from retaliation. There's some employers that still prevent employees from discussing their pay. And then another thing is really having a job, a law that is not just that will protect Black employees and other employees of color. The wage gap is not just about gender. It's also about race. We know that in Mississippi, Black women are making 56 cents on the dollar. White women are making 75 cents on the dollar. Latino women are making, I believe, about 63 cents on the dollar. So having an equal pay bill that includes all of those things will help close that wage gap and bring about equity.
How was the issue received with the Senate Labor Committee?
It has been received really well, and we're just so thankful that the Senate Labor Committee is going to be exploring this. There was a commitment to our coalition partners that they would explore and really give some attention to this issue. There's definitely some division on it. What needs to be included? Is it just the federal law, or do we need to have more of these stronger pieces inside this law? Next week, we'll have an opportunity to really go into deeply about what makes a strong equal pay law. And so I'm just happy and excited. This is a win. This is really a step forward in getting us closer to passing a strong, equitable, equal pay law in the state of Mississippi. And we're really thankful to the Senate Labor Committee for hosting this.
Anything that I didn't ask that you want to mention?
You know, women and girls in Mississippi have made significant strides in the past decade. We're pursuing higher education in larger numbers than ever before. We make up half the workforce, and Black women in particular have the largest employment increases in the state over the past decade. But we're still being shortchanged, and it's time that Mississippi is fair and make sure that women get what we need. We just want to be able to take care of our families. We don't want to go to court. We don't have the resources to go to court. We just want to be able to go home and take care of our families and live a dignified, equitable life in our communities. And Mississippi depends on women's labor. We have been the backbone of our economy here. And so it's now time that the state give that back to us in our paychecks.
Cassandra Welchland with the Black Women's Roundtable, thank you so much for your time and speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Edition podcast from MPB News and MPB Think Radio. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, and if your app lets you, leave a comment or review. We really do appreciate it. Remember, you can always get in touch with MPB News on Facebook and Twitter, and fresh episodes of the podcast are posted every weekday morning. I'm Karen Brown. Thanks for listening. This is Mississippi Edition from MPB Think Radio.